We are in Parashat Tazria. We actually going to read this week two parashot, Tazria and Metzora. But we're going to start learning from Tazria today. We're going to learn from the book Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, from the teachings of Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. If you want to join us or follow, it's in the second Ma'amar in Parashat Tazria. And it's the parasha is talking about when a woman ovulates. If the woman ovulates first, then she will give birth to a male. And if the man ovulates, I don't know if you can see on the man ovulates, but if the man will ovulate first, then it will be a girl. That's according to the Torah. Now go figure out who ovulates first. But nevertheless, the beginning of the parasha is talking about when a lady, a woman, gives birth to a male, how many days she's going to have to be impure, and the type of sacrifice she has to bring, and same thing with giving birth to a girl. But this is more of the literal sense. Now we're going to talk a little bit more of a deeper meaning behind it. So again, we're in the second Ma'amar, if you want to follow. The line starts with O Yevoah. We're going to explain. Isha ki tazriya velta zachar. A woman ovulates and then she gives birth to a male. Isha mazra tchila yoledet zachar. Ish mazriya tchila yoled nekeva. And exactly like I said, maybe my English is not so correct, but when the woman ovulates first, then it will be a girl. When a man ovulates first, then it will be, when the woman ovulates first, it will be a male, and when the male, the father ovulates first, then it will be a man, a boy. So let me, in my words, explain it again.
Okay.
So in Hebrew it says, Isha mazra tchila, that the woman plants, the woman's egg comes first, before the man's seed comes, semen, the seed comes. Then there will be a male. If the seed, the semen of the man comes first, and only after that comes the woman's egg, then it will be a female. That's my English is...
Right, I understand what we're talking about.
Now that we know what we're talking about, now we have to understand... Now we have to understand... ובוא יבואר הפלוגת אחד אמר בניסן נגלו ובניסן עתידים להיגאל. Now we're going to understand a different argument in the Talmud, that one opinion says that since we were redeemed in the month of Nisan, we're going to be future to redeem also in the month of Nisan. This is one opinion that says in the Talmud. But another opinion says, וחד אחר בניסן נגלו ותשרי עתידים להיגאל. A different opinion in the Gemara says that, yeah, we were redeemed in the month of Nisan when we went out of Egypt, but in the future redemption, we're going to go out of the exile in the month of Tishrei. This is an argument between two sages in the Talmud. Haklal, the rule is, Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'atzmo Berov HaChamam Merachem Al Amo Yisrael Bli Shum Itorut HaTachtonim. There is a rule that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, since he has so much mercy, so much love and mercy, he has pity and puts mercy on the nation of Israel without even us doing anything. This is called Itorerut HaTachtonim, when the lower level world, the people from the lower world, when we can do a certain action and we arouse mercy. But the rule is that Hashem, by default, has so much love and mercy to us that we don't even have to do anything and He arouses mercy on us. And sometimes, ויש הקדוש ברוך הוא מרחם עצמו על עמו ישראל מחמת מעשי התחתונים לעמו ישראל. But sometimes there are options that the Kadosh Baruch Hu arouses mercy on us because our actions. We do tshuva, we repent, we rectify a certain action. So there are two ways how the Kadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on us. One of them is because that's His nature. On the other way is that we do a certain action and we arouse His mercy. And how is that? B'maasehem anayim, that we do nice, I don't have to say nice, but we do good deeds. ומה שעושים ומקיימים מצוותיו. When we're doing mitzvot, when we're following the Torah, when we're doing good deeds, charitable acts, when Hashem sees that we're treating each other fair and nice, then it also arouses mercy. והבחינה השנייה, יותר טוב לפני עמו ישראל, and the second option, that the mercy is being aroused because of our actions, is a much better option. זהו הרמז, כי הקדוש ברוך הוא משפיע חיות בכל עת ורגע על כל העולמות, נקרא בשם איש. Now the hint here is that when the קדוש ברוך הוא is bestowing energy or חיות, life force, at every given moment on this world, he's called Ish. Now we don't notice it, and many people think that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world and went out for coffee. But the reality is that Hashem recreates the world and injects, so to say, energy to the world every second. We just read that now when we prayed Shacharit, ובטובו מחדש בכל יום תמיד מעשה וראשית. In His great kindness, He recreates the world like the 6 days of creation every moment. Every second, if for 1 second Hashem pulls out from the world, there's no world. And this is called Lehashpia Chayut. Lehashpia Shefa means an abundance, to give over. And Chayut is the life force, which means that the life force of the world is the energy of Hashem. And if for 1 second Hashem pulls out, the world doesn't exist. And needless to say, this is coming from great mercy, because looking down at this world, who would want to give anything to this world with the behavior of what's going on here? Now, when Hashem is doing that, He's called a man. We find that Hashem has many different definitions. And actually today also, we started reading the Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbat, the first day of the week, and we read a psalm that says, Hashem Ish Milchama. Hashem is a man of war. And again, we see the definition that Hashem is being defined as Ish. There are 4 levels to humans. There's Ish, there's Adam, there's Medaber. But nevertheless, when Hashem is, so to say, bestowing His Chayut, His life force, on this world, He's called Ish. והעולמות המקבלים חיות. Now, who's getting this life force? If He's giving over life force, somebody has to get it. There has to be a relationship. In order for me to be a giver, somebody has to be receiving. If there's no receiver to what I'm giving, I'm not a giver. I can stand now on the street and try to give over something. If nobody will take, I will not be defined as a giver. So if Hashem is defined as a giver, He is giving the world's chayut, then must be that somebody is receiving this. Somebody is receiving this life force. Who is receiving this life force? The worlds. There are many worlds, not only this world. There are spiritual worlds, and they're all receiving this life force. Now, who are they receiving it? Receiving it from Hashem. When? Bechol et verega. In any given moment. There's a constant giving and receiving here. Now, when the worlds are receiving this life force, then the worlds are called Isha. They're compared to a woman. Hashem is the giver, so He's called a man. And the worlds are a receiver. We are receiving. We are on the receiving end constantly. So we are defined as a woman. And this is what it means, Isha Mazra Tchila. When it means that the woman is planting, so to say, her egg first, the word that we use is Mazraat. I use the word ovulating. Maybe, obviously, there's a different word to that. But when a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, are coming in marital relations, there's usually going to be one of them will plant their I don't know if the woman is a seed. The man has a seed, a semen, and the woman has an egg. But when the woman puts the egg first, she's called Mazra Tchila. She came first. So when we're using this term, Isha Mazra Tchila, Dahainu Shehashef Haba Michamat Maaseh HaTachtonim. When the woman is bringing first the egg, comparing to the metaphor that we just said, it means when we, the people from the world below, when we are doing a certain action, so we're initiating it, we're coming first, then it gives birth to a male, Yoledet Zachar. What is the hint here? Shehashefa ba michamat maaseh hatachtonim. The shefa, the abundance that we're receiving, is coming from our own actions, because we did an action first. We are the women, the woman, so to say, in this metaphorical explanation. We are the woman. We initiated. I came and said, you know what, I'm going to wake up early and show up to the minyan. I'm going to now help you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to learn Torah. I'm initiating an action, so I'm bringing myself a reaction. So here, I'm the one who's, so to say, coming first. Then what will be the result? A birth of a male. What does that mean? שהשף הבא מחמת מעשי התחתונים אין בו שום כיתרוג חס ושלום. That the abundance that we are receiving is coming from our action, and there's not going to be any prosecution against it because I initiated. And this is what it means, it births a male. על הרמז, what's the hint here? כאיש גבורתו. That the גבורה here is coming from the man. But what happens when the man plants his seed first? איש מזריע תחילה. Meaning the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In our metaphor, the man is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who just brings the Shefa to our nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'atzmo morer HaShefa al Amo Yisrael, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who bestows this abundance. Zehu HaRemez Yoledet Nekeva. So the hint here is when the man plants his seed first, then the result will be a birth of a female. What does it mean, a female? What's the Remez? Tash Kocho Kenekeva. His power becomes weaker, like a female. Physically, females are weaker than male men. Ki sham chas v'shalom yesh kitrug. There, they're going to be a prosecution. If I'm initiating an action, and as a result from that, there's going to be a shefa, a chayut, abundance coming to me, there's not going to be a kitrug, there's not going to be a prosecution there. Prosecution, of course, from the heavens. But if Hashem is the one who initiates, then there's going to be a prosecution. Hey, why are you giving them? He just did this sin. That's how it works. So, to kind of explain it in a more clear way, many people have a mistake that they think that that Hashem punishes people. I understand, because there is the teachings of Maimonides, of Rambam, that says there is the concept of a reward and a punishment. So the topic, the idea, the concept of a punishment is really planted in our mind that if I do something wrong, I will get punished. But really, this is a very low level of perceiving it. Really, is I do an action and I will create a reaction. Hashem created the world with rules, and He gave us the rules. He put them very organizedly, nice in the book of the Torah. And Hashem says, these are the rules. Now, if you follow the rules, then you're not going to have a problem. If you don't follow the rules, there's going to be reactions. You're going to buy now a new electronic device, and they're going to give you a manual. And in the manual, it's going to say, don't put your phone in the toilet. The water will ruin it. And don't put it in the sun, and don't put it in the microwave, and don't throw it against the wall. And if you do that, we're not going to cover you. There's not going to be a warranty here. Same thing here. Hashem says, these are the rules. If you fail the rules, there's going to be consequences. And I like calling it a reaction and an action and a reaction. Do a positive action, the reaction will be positive. You do a negative action, then the reaction will be negative. Just simple as that. Come now, bang your head at the wall. You did a foolish action, the reaction will be a headache. There's no negotiation here. Come now and smile to somebody, most likely you'll get a smile back. And do a good act, most likely, they say, smile to the world will smile at you. So that's how the universe works. Whatever you throw out there, it comes back to you. And there's all these fancy terms, what goes around, comes around, all these terms that people made up. That's the reality. Whatever you throw, the world has like a wall. And whatever you throw at the wall, it will bounce back at you. Be busy with doing positive things, your positivity will come back at you. And vice versa, of course. Now, here in this metaphor, is Hashem says, listen, Hashem is a giver constantly. But what arouses this motion of giving? The fact that I did a certain action, and now Hashem says, I will give you a positive reaction, or that I didn't do anything. Chas v'shalom even did something negative, but Hashem will still give me. Look how many people, they're doing bad things, and they still, they breathe, they eat, they digest, they get money. I mean, the majority of the world are wicked people. And Hashem, bless you. And Hashem still feeds them, still sustains them. Sometimes you're looking at a person and saying, that person is, forget about sinning against Hashem. Look how he's behaving to other people. And he has good livelihood, he's making money, he's healthy, and he's had a good life. So you would think that a person will do something bad right away. Lightning will strike him and he will be fried. So you see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly gives, even when the person is not worthy. But the two differences is that if I am getting right now as a result from my own action, there cannot be any prosecution from the world above saying, why is he getting this abundance? Because he did a good action, then he's receiving it. So I remove the prosecutions from me. But if I do something bad or I don't do anything and I still get, there's a possibility to having a prosecution from the heavenly court saying, Hashem, why are you giving this person now so much when he goes against you? Now when there's a prosecution, then starts a problem. Now he continues and he says, "V'zeu haremez b'gemara." This is the hint in the Talmud. And really there's no argument. Velo pligi. There's no argument between these two opinions. If you remember, one opinion says, we were redeemed in Nisan, we will be redeemed in Nisan. The other opinion says, we were redeemed in Nisan, we will be redeemed in Tishrei. But really, there's no argument. Ki k'sheyeh, im yirtzeh Hashem ha-geula b'mera b'emenu, mechamat yitorot ha-tachton, az ha-geula tiyeh b'tishrei. If the redemption, if Hashem wants the redemption to come very quickly in our days, but as a result from our action, then the redemption will be in Tishrei. אפילו שהחודש הרי מורה על דין. Even though Tishrei is a חודש of judgment, it's not a month of chesed, it's a month of strict judgment. Nevertheless, כיוון שהגאולה יהיה, אם ירצה השם מחמת התעוררות התחתון, but if we do a certain action, then Hashem wants to redeem us as a result of our action. Can you imagine now, we're getting now all the Jews together, and we're making all the Jews observe Shabbat. I mean, the Torah says very clearly, if you keep one Shabbat, all the nation, then you right away get redeemed. Which the bad news here is that as a nation, we never observed Shabbat because we never were redeemed. If up until now we never were redeemed, means that as a nation, we never observed Shabbat as a whole nation. That's pretty bad for our record, by the way. But nevertheless, we can do some actions. You know, I told you that a few times, that for 3 years, me and another person are trying to organize an event, and we're miserably failing. And I don't know if you remember, about 3 years ago, give or take, there was some terror attack in France, and as a result from that, there was some march, and all the presidents and prime ministers, and they're all walking like that, if you remember that. So when I saw that, I was like, hey, we should do something like that. We should take now all the types of Jews with all the different yarmulkes and different clothes and make them all stand hand in hand. So we were trying to initiate an event where we take a lot of rabbis from many different groups, from that group, from this group, Ashkenaz, Sephardi, Breslev, Chabad, all the different groups, putting them all in one place, and saying, okay, guys, let's make a unity. Let's make a big event that we're showing to the world, and we're showing mainly to our students and our followers that we're all united. Not that I'm better than you and you better than him and he's wrong and he's crazy and he's off the path. And unfortunately, we have 3 rabbis on board. Because every rabbi that we turn to, then we have questions such as, who's going to be there? Who's going to be the speaker? Who's going to be, oh, that guy's there? No, I'm not coming. And mainly we get, the reaction that I get is, when you get it together, call me. So that's how pathetic the situation is.
I'll be the
10th. Yeah. When you get 9, I'll be the 10th. But unfortunately, we have a few rabbis that are agreeing. And all the rest, we get all sorts of ridiculous comments like, oh, who's going to be the main speaker? Who's going to be running the event? Who's going to be speaking there? Oh, so-and-so is speaking? I don't want to come. And where am I going to be sitting? And I'm going to be a VIP? And I'm going to be in the... This is the different reactions that we're getting. That's how sad it is. I always said that hypothetically, If you take now a room, hire a big stadium, a big hall, and bring into that room 1,000 of the top rabbis of the world, from all congregations, from all cities in the world, all the top, 1,000. Not talking here about 10,000. 1,000! Put them all in one room. And say, listen guys, we are all serving the same God. We all believe in the same Torah. We all put the same tefillin in the morning. We all observe Shabbat the same and we slaughter our animals the same. Let's make now some big campaign that we get all mixed together. So you give me your students, I'll give you my students, and we start mixing everybody around and we make a week of unity. And we're all united. Doesn't matter what yarmulke you wear, how you dress, how you pronounce your word. Let's just, why? Because we all want Mashiach to come. If hypothetically you would get this to happen, Mashiach would come. Yeah. But the problem is that, again, put this 1,000 men in the room and will come the million-dollar question. Who's going to be the chairman? I'll be. No, you're Ashkenaz. No. Okay, so I'll be. No, you're Sephardi. No, so we'll never get along. So technically, we can bring the redemption like that. It's all up to us. I mean, we can now, as a nation, get together, get some good brains, and make it happen. But unfortunately, we're in such a low level as a nation that nobody's willing even to participate in something to even do something. But nevertheless, hypothetically, now get all the nation, how you say, get their act together, we will arouse such mercy by Hashem that He will decide to redeem us. That will happen, according to that opinion in the Talmud, that will happen in Tishrei. Because we aroused the mercy. But if the redemption will come because of the mercy of Hashem, as dafka yeh b'nisan, then it will be in Nisan. And that's what happened now in Pesach. Why were they redeemed? They didn't have any merits. They redeemed only because Hashem had mercy on them. So the two opinions in the Talmud, they're really not arguing. Rather, one says, if the redemption will come because of our actions, it will be in Tishrei. If the redemption will come because of Hashem's mercy, it will be in Nisan. Ba'et she'en dinim shorei klal. Why Nisan? Because Nisan, there's no dinim. There's no judgments on Nisan. That's why we see the whole month of Nisan, we don't say Tachanun. There's no judgments. It's a very pleasant and easygoing month. Ki al ze romez ze, shachodesh Nisan nikra chodesh Aviv. The month of Nisan is also called the month of the spring. In Hebrew, it's called Aviv. Makes more sense in Hebrew because Aviv is written Aleph Bet Yud Bet. And Aleph Bet goes in the Seder, Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet Hey. The Tishrei is the letters of Tashrak, meaning going backwards. Taf, Shin, Kuf, Reish Kuf. If you notice the order of the letters, look at the letters of Tishrei. Switch them around, you have their Taf, and then a Shin, and then a Reish, and then a Kuf. Going reverse. Ki Nisan hu or hayashar. Nisan, Kabbalistically saying, Nisan is when the light is going in a straight direction. Morei al chesed, this is showing kindness and chesed. V'tishrei or chozer, Tishrei is a reflecting light. This is a term in Kabbalah, or yashar and or chozer. And Hashem projects His light, and then this is called or yashar, this is chesed. We talked about many times when we calling Hashem or. This is a term that we find a lot, and we refer to Hashem as Or, as a light. Now Hashem is not a light bulb, but why is it called a light? Because in Hebrew the word light is Or, and the adjective is Lehair, to enlight. Hashem wants to enlighten, wants to influence and to show us His love and kindness, then He projects, so to say, His light on us. Now, we mentioned that so many times. In order for something to project, it needs a screen or a wall for the light to bounce back. Take now a beam of light and throw it into the world. If it's not reflecting on anything, you're not going to see that light. The only reason why we see things around us is because there's light reflecting on objects. So we're able to see it. But hypothetically, take now a beam of light and throw it in the darkness, into the horizon, you're not going to see anything. You're only going to see when it bumps, it reflects on a surface, and it will reflect back. So Hashem throws His light, so to say, onto the world, and the world reflects the light back. The terms in Kabbalah is when the light is coming from Hashem, This is all called Or Yashar, a straight light coming out from Hashem, showing on chesed, on kindness, because he's giving us this enlightenment with no conditions. Once it reflects on something and bounces back, it's called the returning light. So the light is now returning to its source. And this is showing on judgment. I mean, the world was created from chesed and gvura. Chesed and gvura, that's what we see now, we're counting the Omer. Last week we were on the side of chesed, this week we're on the side of gvura. So basically saying, in other words, when we're taking verses from the Torah, yes, the Torah is talking literal. And the Torah, when the Torah says that if the woman plants the egg first, and after that comes the sperm, then it will birth a child, that will physically happen. And vice versa. If the sperm comes first, and then only after that comes the egg, there will be a female. But the Torah has many levels. This is the literal level. The remez, if you know, the Torah is, the explanation of the Torah is divided into four levels. And we call it pardes, an orchard. Why pardes? Not because it's an orchard, rather because it's an acronym of four words. Pshat, remez, drash, sod. Pshat is the literal level, remez is a hint, drash is the explanation, and sod is the secret. So the literal level is what we just explained with the sperm and the egg. But the remez, the hint, is it's hinting on how is the chesed coming to us. Either it's coming to us as if from our actions, meaning isha mazra'at chila, we are the female, we are the woman. If we do an action first, then the chesed will come with no dinim. There's not going to be any judgment in the kindness that Hashem does to us. But if it comes from Hashem, then it will come. But that's a man planting the seed first, and then there's going to be judgment against these chasadim. And needless to say, that they can be cancelled at some point, or there's going to be dinim. We don't like when there's dinim. Din is a judgment. So needless to say, what we want to practically take from this is that I want to be the one who's initiating the mercy of Hashem, not to wait for Hashem to have mercy on me. My grandmother used to always say, Hashem helps the ones who help themselves. Very wise.
Yeah. It's called an adage.
Adage? Yeah. Very wise.
Saying.
Yeah.
A wise saying.
So why? Because she says, listen, Hashem does help everybody, but Hashem helps the one who helps themselves. Meaning to say, in other words, don't wait for Hashem to be merciful and kind to you. You have to initiate an action. You have to initiate an action in all levels, between me and Hashem, between me and another person, and even between me and my own existence. So practically saying, we like taking everything practical. Learning is very nice, but if you don't apply it, then we're wasting our time and we're just warming up chairs. So the Mishnah says we have to learn, al menat lilmod, al menat lelamed, learning for the sake that I can teach, but lilmod al menat lelamed velaasot, to learn, teach, and to do. So practically, we like applying things practically, especially now at the time of the Omer. We have to initiate constantly actions. And the initiation can be between me and myself, that I work on myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, when I refine myself. We talked about it a lot last week and during the Chol HaMoed about the Omer. It's about me refining myself. If I find myself at the end of the day, the end of the month, the end of the year, the end of my life, and I didn't refine myself, I failed myself. When I constantly put myself under a microscope, I constantly not challenge myself, but
I
more than analyze. I set goals. I set what I want to achieve. If there's a certain character trait that I don't like, I will recognize and I will work on it. And if I don't able to break it, then I will feel that I failed. Of course, I analyze myself constantly. But if you don't do that, well, why did you come here to this world? To eat cookies? We came to this world to refine ourselves. We say that every day. Hashem wanted to give us a lot of merit, so He gave us a lot of Torah and mitzvot. But really, the right way of reading it, this is taught by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he says, don't say lezakot et Israel, say lezakech et Israel, to refine. So I came down to this world and I started here. I want to end up here. I didn't come here just to spend here 80 years and to contribute carbon monoxide, how do you say carbon monoxide to the world by me breathing all day long. I came here to change myself, and I came here to change as many people around me, to make the world a better place, and to fulfill the commandment that Hashem told me. So I constantly put myself under a microscope, because yes, I do want to refine myself, and that's what we're now focusing on Tzfirat HaOmer. So needless to say, when I want to receive rachamim, mercy from Hashem, unfortunately, we all deal with all sorts of issues. Some people have financial problems, some people have health problems, some people have marital problems. Everybody has problems. There's no such a thing that you're free to go. Everybody has a lot of problems, and don't worry, your problems are not the biggest in the world. Everybody else has also big problems. And we constantly pray to Hashem, Hashem, I need parnasa, Hashem, I need to get married, Hashem, I need this, Hashem, I need that. So Hashem says, no problem. Why are you just telling me, Hashem, I need this, Hashem, I need that? You think Hashem doesn't know your bank account status? Hashem has access to your bank accounts. He knows exactly what's going on there. You don't need to tell him what's your credit card bill and that you need more money. And trust me, Hashem knows your marital status. He has access to the offices in Sitrat HaPnim and Social Security. He knows how many kids you have. He knows everything. So kind of telling Hashem, Hashem, I need this, I need that. It's like, what do you think? I don't know. I'm a God. Why are you telling me you need a wife? I know you need a wife. Rather, Hashem says, why don't you do something? Do instead of a talk. So, you know, they say in America, talk is cheap. Do. We mentioned that yesterday. What to do? Do. Don't talk too much. So we want to take from this learning a very interesting teaching that rachamim, mercy, will come from Hashem regardless, because that's His nature. But we want to initiate it. We want to initiate an action that the action that will be brought on me will be free of judgment.
Proactive.
Exactly. When I wake up in the morning, modeni, right away, go to the mikveh, start praying, come to the minyan, learning. Right away, learn Torah, start applying it. Somebody around you, how can I help you? How can I help you? How can I be nicer to my wife and kids and so forth? Not only that you make your environment a much more comfortable place, the mercy you are arousing are coming from your actions. And needless to say, this comes without a judgment. And needless to say, that what we got here, an unbelievable hint. If we're waiting for Hashem's mercy to bring the Geulah, I don't know when that's going to happen. But we have here a hint that if we do something, if we initiate, then we will arouse the mercy of Hashem to bring the redemption. So Nisan already is almost over. We still have another 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks actually, for the end of Nisan. But if Chas v'Shalom we miss this opportunity, so let's initiate us some good actions and good deeds, and maybe we'll receive the redemption, this Tishrei, with our own positive action. It all depends on us.